Did you know your salvation is precious? It absolutely is. Hi, I'm Mark, and this is your daily Cornerstone Connection. One of the things last Sunday that I love that Pastor Andy preached to us is the story that God sets the mark. I love that God sets the mark. We have a perfect and a holy God who in his holiness and in his perfection has called out to us and is inviting us in into this relationship with him, and that is so cool. Well, as I've been studying the scriptures here and kind of going through different kids in the Bible, last time I was reading about Sarah struggling to believe this wonderful thing that God was going to do. Well, now, as I hit Genesis chapter 22, we see that Isaac, this child of promise, has been born, and it's amazing. And then God shakes everything up, like God does sometimes. Have you ever had God kind of shake everything up? Well, he absolutely does here. And this whole story makes me think of how precious our salvation is. And I bet that through this story right here, Abraham had a very different view of how precious Isaac was. In chapter 22 of Genesis, starting at verse 1, it says, "After these things, God tested Abraham." That word tested is kind of important, isn't it? Can you think of somebody else in the Bible who was tested by God and went through a trial? When I see that word, I immediately think of Job. Job was tested before God, right? And he was a blameless, an upright man in God's sight, and he was tested. So Abraham is being tested, that same word like Job was. And God says to Abraham, God says to Abraham, he says, "Abraham," he's calling him. And he says, and Abraham says, "Here I am." And then, and it's kind of cool, I liken that very first part of we see God calling Abraham by name. God's going to test him, and God calls him by name. And I think that's so cool. You know, as I think of my salvation and your salvation too, at some point, God has called us by name. God is personal. He loves you. He knows you. And God invites us into this relationship with him. And that's what he does. God is not so big and lofty and far away that he's like, "You, human race down there." No, he says, "No, Mark, I'm calling you by name. I know you, I love you." And that's what he does to Abraham. And then we continue in verse 2, he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." This is key here. Because Isaac is precious to Abraham. Isaac is the son that all of his future blessing and promise is going to be reckoned through. And Abraham and Sarah, I mean, they've been waiting for Isaac, and God did his miracle. And now God is calling him to go and to offer him up. Boy, if I was Abraham, I would really have a hard time with this. And I bet you would too. But it had to be Isaac, because Isaac was the child of promise. And I oftentimes think, you know, would Abraham have wanted to say, "God, take me, I will fall on the sword, but spare my son"? But you see, that wouldn't have happened, because part of the test here is God is saying, will you give up that which is most precious to you? Will you follow me in spite of everything? Do you remember when God called you to that? When you first got it, that God loved you and that you needed to make him Lord of your life. And that was understanding God's story, right? You needed to make God Lord of your life. And you needed to ask him to forgive your sin. But that God was so precious. Do you remember? I do. It was a really cool time. In verse 3, it continues, it says, "Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.'" You see what he says there? He says, "Worship." "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both of them together." Can you imagine this picture of Isaac loading up the wood that would make the altar that he would be sacrificed on? Can you think of somebody else who would be a perfect sacrifice for our sin that had to carry a large wooden beam up a hill to a sacrifice site? I think immediately of Jesus carrying the beam of the cross up the hill where he would be crucified for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, right? So there's this cool picture here with Isaac carrying it up there. And when they finally get up there, and I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Isaac speaks, and this is kind of the only time we hear Isaac speaking in this part of the scriptures. He says, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So they went together. God will provide. And then when they came to the place, and I'm sure you know the story, as Abraham is about to strike down with the knife, God calls out to him, "Stop. Stop." Abraham had passed this test, right? Abraham was willing to give up that which was most precious to him. What a cool foreshadowing of a time when God would send a perfect sacrifice to die in our place. I think that's so cool. And that just reminds me of all that Jesus has done for me. And the fact that this is very precious. And so I hope maybe as you're watching this, you know, you could be thinking about the moment that you prayed and asked Jesus to forgive your sins. And what a precious, precious thing that is. Well, know that God loves you. God loves you very much. And he knows you by name. And just like how God provided for Abraham and for Isaac, God will provide for you too. And that's something that we can all have confidence in. Thanks for watching.